Hey, good morning. So my name is Ty, and me, along with my wife, who was just playing guitar, Laura, have the privilege to be youth and young adult directors here at Gateway Church. And this is in June, this will be 4 years that we've been here. Isn't that crazy? We were talking about it a couple days ago, and it literally felt like a year, maybe. And then we realized that we have a two-year-old, and was like, that's not possible. So, yeah, it's been almost 4 years that we've been here, and it's been amazing to kind of just get to see and watch as the body is growing and changed and adjusted, and it's amazing just to be in a house and in a church where people are just hungry for the presence of God. So we're going to open the Word this morning. We're continuing in the book of Psalms. One of my personal favorite Psalms is Psalm 23. And that's where we're heading this morning, so if you want to turn there, feel free. We're heading to Psalm 23. I'm reading personally from the NLT, so it may be a little bit different depending on what version you have. But let's read it. It's fairly well known. I would say it's probably one of the most well-known psalms in the whole book, Psalm 23. So let's just read it together. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows, and he leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even though I walk through the valley, through the darkest valley, I won't be afraid. You prepare a feast before me in the presence of my enemies. Your rod and staff," I missed it, "your rod and staff, they comfort us and they protect us. You prepare a feast before me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this morning, God, and I pray, God, this morning that we would just leave here with a better understanding of who you are. That we would leave here with a better understanding of who you are and what you have in store for us, and the plans that you have for us, and the purposes that you have for us. So, Father, I pray right now, God, that we would just be ready for your word, for what you have to say. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as I was saying, the Psalm 23 is one of my personal favorites. It's one of my favorites because I think that it describes the love of God really, really, really well. It describes the characteristics of God really, really, really well. And David had this moment with God. I think that he had this moment with God where he kind of was just able to process what he's thinking. He's able to kind of just process what he's thinking. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need, you know. And that's that illustration of David as a shepherd is so beautiful. It's so beautiful God as a shepherd is so beautiful. And it's so beautiful because when we understand what a shepherd actually is, when we understand what a shepherd actually does, it opens our eyes to the concept that that's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God that is in heaven. That's the kind of God that we came to worship today, is a God who's a shepherd. If you know anything about a shepherd, then you'll know that a shepherd is somebody who tends to sheep. It's somebody who cares for sheep. It's somebody who cares for their every well-being, their everything that they do. He's the one, the shepherd's the one that cares for them. Every minute and every second, he cares for them. From their feedings to sending them off into the field to bringing them back out from the field back into the barn. He's the one, the shepherd's the one who protects and watches over every single sheep. And the other beautiful thing that I love is that just like a shepherd, how a shepherd pursues the sheep, God is a pursuer of us. God pursues us. He chases after us the exact same way that a shepherd chases after the sheep. God pursues us. And this morning, I'd just like to point out for a second that maybe, just maybe, there's somebody here this morning who's being pursued by God. Maybe, just maybe, this morning, there's somebody here who's being pursued by God. They may not even know it. You may not even know it, or maybe you do know it. But God is a pursuer of people. He pursues people. Whether or not, sometimes whether or not that they're ready for it. Why is it? David's acknowledgement of God in such a way is an acknowledgement that is full of honor and praise. David's acknowledgement of God in the way where he refers to him as a shepherd is full of honor and praise. It's full of David for what he's done in his life, for the realization that God has been pursuing David, that God is pursuing David, that God has always been pursuing David no matter what he's actually done. God continues to pursue David. And the acknowledgement is not one of, it's not an ordinary acknowledgement. It's not your everyday acknowledgement that somebody would say, he's a shepherd. He's a shepherd. You don't hear that very often. You don't hear that very often in our culture and in our world. You don't hear very often that somebody would look at somebody and go, hey, he's a shepherd. But the way that David says it about God is full of glory. It's full of glory, it's full of honor, and it's full of praise. It's maybe one of the highest things that David could say. Because it's the understanding that David's giving everything that he has. It's the understanding that David has begun to figure it out that God is consistently and constantly pursuing his people. David's also realizing that God is somebody who deeply cares. He deeply, deeply cares for you. He deeply cares for his people. And only somebody who could pursue no matter what could deeply care so much that the oh-so-famous quote from Reckless Love that says, you know, he leaves the 99 to pursue the one. Only a shepherd does that. Only a shepherd was known to do that. To have so much love for his flock, for his herd, that he would pursue even just one who was lost. David so deeply cares and watches, God so deeply cares and watches over his people. God so deeply cares and watches over his people. And I've come today to encourage somebody that God is the shepherd of your life. That God is the shepherd of your life. That he's the one who guides every step that you take. He's the one who guides your steps. When we allow God to shepherd our lives, he leads us and lets us rest in his plan for our life. When we allow God to shepherd our life, when we come to the same place, the same acknowledgement that David did, that's when God allows us to rest in the green pastures. That's when God allows us to rest in what he's doing for us. That's when God allows us to That's when God allows us to dwell in what he has for us to come. That's when God allows us to do all this kind of stuff. I love verse 4 because it says, even when I walk through the valleys of the shadow of the death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Notice how, though, it doesn't say that I won't walk through it. It doesn't say I won't walk through dark times. It doesn't say that I won't walk through dark valleys. It doesn't say that I won't walk through things that are really tough. It says that even though I do, I have no reason to be afraid. Even though I do, even though things still happen, even though things still come at me, even though the enemy is still, there are still times and moments when the enemy is pursuing us. And even when it happens, I don't need to be afraid. Even when it happens, there's no need and there's no reason for you to be afraid, because he's with us always. Because he's with us when we walk through the dark valleys. Because he's with us when we're in the sunshine. Because he's with us when things are easy, and he's with us when things are hard. During every valley, there's a battle. And during every battle, there's a victory. And during every victory, there's a Savior. And if in every battle there's a victory, and if in every victory there's a Savior, then there's absolutely no reason to fear. Your Savior, who died on the cross, who rose again, fights every battle for you. And this is the beautiful thing, and that's why we sang this song this morning. This is how we fight. Because it's time that as Christians we start understanding what we're fighting, how we're supposed to fight our battles. It's time that as Christians, so often Christians invite people and other things into their life. Christians will invite people and other things into their life that don't actually belong there. And then we realize very quickly that we're in a battle. And then we realize very quickly that we're in the midst of a battle, that we're in the midst of an argument, that we're in the midst of our sin, that we're in the midst of the things that pull us away from God. And we find ourselves in this place, and it's that moment kind of when we're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I'm here today to tell you that it's time that we learn how to fight our battles. It's time that we learn this morning how to fight our battles. And how we fight our battles is like this. David continues in Psalm 23, and he says that the Lord prepares a feast. He prepares a table for us to sit at. But I'm here this morning to simply just tell somebody that your table is intended to be a reservation for two. For two. Not for three, not for five, not for ten. For two people. It's intended. God created this feast. He creates this table with this full feast for you to sit at for two people. For two people. How many people or how many things are sitting at your table this morning? This table that I'm talking about, that I'm going to illustrate in a second, this table that I'm talking about, it's a place where you are supposed to be able to come and have an opportunity and a chance to have your eyes completely and solely fixed on Jesus. Completely and solely fixed on Jesus. And if I can, I recruited a couple youth on Friday. I didn't really tell them a whole lot. I just said, hey, I need help. Can you come in? And they were like, yeah, okay, sure. So I'm going to have them come up now. Sam, can you help me grab this? So this table that the Lord prepares for us, it's intended to be a one-on-one reservation for two kind of meal. It's intended to be a one-on-one reservation for two kind of meal. Between you and the Father. So Julianne's going to play God. Lucky you. And Abby's going to play humanity. So sorry. But this table, this is how... Y'all are real friends, so just kind of like gaze into each other's eyes for me. You don't have to do a whole lot. You just kind of got to just look at each other real intently. This table, this is what it's created to look like. God and humanity, one-on-one. The moment that we can come with God, and that this is where he wants us to live our life. Right here at this table, just like this. But the reality is that sometimes there's more than just two people or two things sitting at our table. There's more than just two people or two things that'll sit at our table. And if more than two people or two things will sit at our table, it becomes really, really, really challenging to keep your eyes solely fixed on the Lord. It becomes really, really challenging to keep your eyes solely fixed on God. Because things like this will come at you. Things like this, whatever I am in your life this morning, whatever I am in your life this morning, I have a feeling that there's something else sitting at your table that's not supposed to be here. Whatever it is. And for everybody else who's out there, I have a feeling this morning that there's probably things sitting at your table that don't belong there, that God didn't intend to be there. Whatever it is, for some people it might be alcohol. For some people it might be drugs. For some people it could be pornography. For some people it could be past burdens that you're still carrying, that you have no business carrying. But it becomes really, really, really difficult to look at the Father when more than two things are sitting at your table. It becomes really, really difficult to see God still, even though the reservation's for two. We need to learn to address and understand, once we invite things to our table that don't belong there, the question is, how do you get rid of it? The question becomes, how do you get rid of it? The question becomes, what am I going to do to get back to where God wants me to be? What am I going to do to get back to this place? Because the heart of the Father, no matter how many things sit at your table, the heart of the Father is to always draw us back to Him. It's to always draw us back to Him, just like the shepherd and his sheep. A sheep gets lost, the shepherd goes searching and searching and searching until he finds him, until he finds that sheep. The heart of God is the exact same. He wants, his heart is to draw us back closer to Him, to take what's sitting at our table that doesn't belong there and remove it. To take what's sitting at our table and doesn't. David was aware that he served a God who would never leave him. David was aware that he would serve a God who would never leave him. No matter how many times he stumbled, no matter how many times he sinned, no matter how many times he fell short, no matter how many times he felt like he didn't belong at the table, the reality is that he realized and he recognized that he served a God who would never leave him no matter what. And this morning, I want to encourage somebody to simply just say this, that the same God that David addresses, that the same God that David addresses is the same God that we serve here today. The same God that David makes this statement about is still the same God that we serve today. There's nothing different. He's still the same. He's still the exact same. The thing is that we've become so enticed by everything else sitting at our table that sometimes we even forget who's at the other end. Who or what is sitting at your table that doesn't belong there this morning? Who or what is sitting at your table that doesn't belong there this morning? As the Father draws us and herds us back into His presence, all He requires of us is the acknowledgement that we need Him to be a part of our life. All that He requires is the acknowledgement that we need Him to save us from our wandering, to save us from the times that we've given up, to save us from the times that we've needed Him and haven't asked for it. That's all He requires, is the acknowledgement. He'll do everything else. He'll do everything else. If you acknowledge it, He'll do everything else. The heart of the Father is drawing us back to Him. And it's sometimes it's even God, because God is a God of pursuit, because He's a God of pursuit, even in the moments that we aren't pursuing, I think that God is still pursuing us. And we see this a couple different places in Scripture. In Genesis chapter 3, in Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve have just sinned and they're running away from God. And as they're running, God says, "Where are you? Why are you hiding? Why are you hiding? Why are you so scared? Why are you so scared of what you've done? And David says in this, in 23, he says that we shouldn't fear. He says that we shouldn't have any reason to fear, that we shouldn't have anything to be fearful about, that we should still be able to, no matter what happens in our life, no matter what we've done, that we should still be able to come back to God. That there's no level of what you can do or what you have done that can stop, or that should keep you from running back to God. That should keep you from running back to God. In Ezekiel 34, chapter 11, it says, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search and find my sheep. I myself will search and find my sheep." And it happens at several other points in Scripture as well. That the Lord your God will search and find you. He will search for you. He will track you down. He will find you. And he's looking for you even in the moments you're not looking for him. Even in the moments that you're not looking for him. The table. Who or what? It all comes back to this question this morning. Who or what is sitting at your table that doesn't belong there? We need to believe this morning that we can see victory from the things that are sitting at our table that don't belong there. We need to believe this morning that we can see victory from the things that are sitting at our table that don't belong there. But victory over these things is done not because of anything that we could do, not because of anything that you could do. The only thing that you can do is to come to him. He's in charge of the rest. He's the one that can save, not us. And it's in the moments when we acknowledge that other things are sitting at our table. And for so long, I think most of us are probably sitting here being like, in Abby's spot. Most of us, I think, are sitting here probably being like, oh, it's okay that I have this addiction. It's okay that I have this addiction. I can fix this. I can fix this. I'm here to tell somebody today that you can't fix it without God. I come today to tell somebody that you can't fix it without God. That if you look through Scripture, that every single battle, nobody won a battle on their own. The Red Sea didn't split on its own. The walls of Jericho didn't fall on their own. Jonah didn't survive a fish on his own. Job didn't regain new life on his own. Peter didn't walk on water because he could. Paul wasn't saved on his own. Paul didn't lose his sight and gain it back on his own. All of these things, all of these biblical victories happen because God did them first. Because they were obedient to what God said, and he performed the miracle. He performed the healing. He performed everything that we need. The common occurrence in these situations is that everybody came back to what God originally said. Whatever it is in your life, whatever is sitting at your table this morning, no matter if it's a person or a thing, you need God to see that victory. We don't have it in us. Without the Holy Spirit, we don't have it in us. We don't have it in us to be saved, and we don't have it in us to save others. It's the Holy Spirit in us who saves and then allows us to be saved afterwards. It's the Holy Spirit in us who leads our conversations with other people, who draws them closer to the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit in us. It's the Holy Spirit in us when you feel that that pounding on your heart, Abby. It's moments like that. That's Holy Spirit saying, hey, I need you to deal with this. Get this off your table. Get this off your chest. You don't need this. What you need is a one-on-one gaze with Jesus Christ. That's what you need. And I think this morning that that's probably what a lot of us need. An opportunity to go one-on-one with Jesus Christ. An opportunity to go one-on-one, to book your reservation for two. And if you can book your reservation for two this morning, then there's absolutely no reason that because of Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, that because of the things that live inside of you, that you can't and you will not see a victory. There's no reason it can't happen. There's no reason that it can't happen. We serve a God where nothing is impossible. And if nothing's impossible this morning, if God can split seas, if Jonah can survive a fish, if David can defeat Goliath, come on somebody, if David can defeat a 7'7", like, we're talking like two LeBron Jameses, like, if David can defeat two LeBron Jameses, LeBron James sitting on top of LeBron James' shoulder, that's Goliath. If David can defeat Goliath, then there's no reason that if you have Holy Spirit inside of you that you can't see a victory. There's no reason that you can't, that you should have more than two things sitting at your table. There's no reason this morning. Thanks, guys. And I want to say this morning, as we transition a little bit, I want to ask you this morning to just begin to ponder, begin to think about these things that might be sitting at your table. The reality is this all came about because I was preparing for Encounter Night one night. I was preparing for Encounter Night one night, and the Lord said to me as I was reading Psalm 23, he said, "Who's sitting at your table? Who's sitting at your table that's not me?" And I was like, "What? No. What are you talking about?" You know, I was like, "God," I was like, "It's just me and you." And he's like, "No, it's not. No, it's not. It's God, it's just me and you. No, it's not." And he began to reveal these things to me that were sitting at my table that I had to deal with, that I had to believe that I could see a victory before Encounter that night. And I just want to ask you this morning, who or what is sitting at your table that doesn't belong there? Who or what is sitting at your table that doesn't belong there? You know, we serve a great God. We serve a great God who can do all things. We serve a great God who can do all things. A God where nothing is impossible. And this morning, let's just close our eyes this morning. Everybody in this room, every eye closed, every head bowed, let's just begin to ask God that question. God, who or what is sitting at my table this morning? Who or what is keeping me from having my eyes focused on you? Who or what is getting in the way of my relationship with you? Who or what is keeping me from drawing closer to God? And I think this morning that he's probably in this very moment just revealing things to you about what's sitting at your table. Who's interrupted your reservation? Who's interrupted your reservation? Or what's interrupted your reservation this morning? And as you're thinking about that, I'm just going to say that, you know, if you're here this morning and you're like, "I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. No idea. I don't know. I don't know anything about God." I just want to simply tell you this morning that the God that we're talking about today is a God whose heart is love. His characteristic is love. If you look at love in the dictionary, it perfectly describes God's love for us. And I just simply want to say this morning that maybe it's your time, maybe it's your moment, maybe this is your chance, your opportunity to turn and come to Jesus. To come to Jesus, and to come to Jesus, you don't need to have everything in stock. You don't need to have everything in store. You don't need to have, you don't need to be this perfect person to know Jesus. And it says that God loves you so much. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, for God so loved you, that he would give his only begotten son so that nobody would have to perish, so that nobody would have to live without him. And this morning, we just need to talk about who or what is sitting at our table. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, then maybe it's time that you understand that there's a God in heaven who wants to have a reservation for two. That there's a God in heaven who wants to have a reservation for two. Who or what is sitting at your table this morning? In a minute, if something, while I was talking, if something's coming to your mind, I'm going to invite you, I'm going to clean this up, but I'm going to invite you to just come to the altar this morning. To just come to the altar this morning to say, God, my table's full. My table's full. My table's full. My table's full of things, and I just need you. I need you. God, I acknowledge that I need you. I acknowledge that I can't do it on my own. I acknowledge that I can't save myself. I acknowledge that without you, I have nothing. And if that's you this morning, if something's coming up in your heart, as you're processing who or what is sitting at your table, I'm just going to invite you that this is a place, that this is a place where we see victory. That history would have it that here at Gateway Church, that victories have happened here at this altar. That victories have happened here in this church. That people who were lost have been saved. That people who were addicted have been set free. That people who came from broken families have found families. That people who knew nothing about God have found the greatest one of all, which is God. This is a place of victory. And this morning I challenge you to say, God, I want to see a victory. I want to see a victory. I want to see what you can do in my life. I need you. I need your help. Save me from my sin. Save me from my thing. Set me free from the person who's sitting at my table who doesn't belong there. Set me free from the addictions that I've carried all these years. Set me free from the pain that I've held on to for so long. Set me free, God. He's a God who won't take that pain away, but he is a God who will replace that pain with joy. God knows no pain. He doesn't understand it. He does know love. He does know joy. The one characteristic that's not God is to lose. He's never lost. He's never lost, and he never will. It's not a part of who he is. And if he never loses, then why are we scared to ask for his help? Come on, who or what is sitting at your table this morning? Let's process that. Let's come to the altar as we feel like we need to, as we feel like we need to respond this morning. It's such a beautiful part of Scripture that the Lord prepares this feast, this table, for you. Who or what is sitting at your table this morning? Let's process that and come to the altar. Come and find our victory. Come and find God. Because I believe that he's all over this place. I believe that he set this up as a special divine appointment and meeting this morning. He's searching for you, even if you're not searching for him. Who or what's sitting at your table? Let's come to the altar when we feel like we need you.